Okay, firstly, the first thing we did not hear was that a certain minister here married anyone while he was a probationer. We did not hear that.
That's already been reported.
In fact, he had been ordained but didn't have his license yet. Okay, well, first of all, what we have experienced as a gathering. We have experienced the empowerment of community. We have heard courageous witness through testimony, inspiration through creative and alternative worship, and we have heard the call and the comfort and the challenge through Scripture. And so we are grateful for this experience and want on record to thank those who have been most involved in originating this idea and organizing this gathering, from especially Kelly and Greg. Thank you very much. And we are not aware of everything that went on behind the scenes, but we are grateful and have experienced and tasted the fruit, as well as Dawn, your hospitality here has been rich and abundant. This process has been both informative, it's been transformative, and it's been a sign of hope, not only within ourselves, but for others who have come here and met with us. If there's been one critique, we have not heard or enabled all the resources of this group to be heard and experienced and tapped into. Basically, out of our experience of gathering, we have heard three things: that we are called to stand with, to stand for, and to stand up. To stand with in the act of solidarity, to stand for in the act of education, and to stand with in the act of advocacy. They all overlap. So let me share a few things what we've heard. We've tried to place them under those categories. Again, they could fall under a number of them. To stand with, the need for us to organize ourselves in a way that we can stand with in a meaningful, deliberate, organized way to facilitate guidance and healing. We have heard from testimonies of just how the church has been robbed by such incredible people. If every testimony that we have heard here from each person, if those persons were in the church today, the church would be closer to the kingdom. So this loss of such treasure and gift we have heard. So through testimony, we have heard the pain of rejection, loneliness, alienation. We have heard that when you come out of the closet, you're out of the church. We have been amazed at God, that through testimony we have heard that as people have left church, they have become fully alive. In other words, they have met God in other ways, in other places, maybe through other names. But we have also heard that some people long to be included and will only be fully alive when they are. So in an organized, deliberate fashion, we need these testimonies to be heard, and we need to respond to these testimonies in ways that do offer solidarity and healing. In response to these testimonies, we have been moved to anger, and we need to see how that anger can be moved to hunger. We have been moved to want to blame, and we need to see how that blame can be moved to responsibility. So we need organized support for gay and lesbians in our churches, for gay and lesbian clergy, for gay and lesbian clergy in marriages, for gay and lesbian clergy coming out, for gay and lesbian clergy outside of the church trying to get in, etc., as well as standing with parents of gay and lesbian people, etc. We have heard loud and clear that people are not waiting for conference, they are also waiting for congregations to be places of solidarity and healing. So to stand with, to stand for, we need to remind the church who we are, that we are an inclusive church, that we have a radical statement or position, that we are not asking permission to be inclusive. We are trying to facilitate the mechanisms for us to act upon our inclusivity. We need to remind the church and educate the church of the 2001, 3 and 5 statements. We need to educate the church not only of our inclusivity in Christ, in Wesley, and those statements in our tradition, but also educate the church of the hurt and pain that the church has been responsible for. In order to educate this message, we would call upon a TRC process to take place where the church can publicly acknowledge, admit, apologize, confess and repent. In the last speaker, not included in this, the wisdom of making that a broad approach. In our education, we have been challenged to educate at all levels where the struggle will take place, at grassroots and at leadership, with individuals and with institutional structures. In order to educate, we need to place a face on this, despite the fear. And not only a face of gay clergy, but gay congregational members, family members, etc. We have discovered, again, with pain, that a church that speaks of following the one who is the truth in its dealings with this matter has encouraged untruthfulness and the opposite of authenticity. And in our education, or standing for, we need to opt for a process that always is not a polarizing process, is not an exclusive process, a process that welcomes dialogue with the enemy, if you want to use that, and teaches people about the importance of ambiguity that can hold the diversity. So stand with and stand for, and now stand up, which is the advocacy. We've been called to a long obedience. We've heard that it's God's struggle and not ours. We've heard that to be strategic is not ungodly. We've heard that we will make mistakes on the way, and that is okay. We need support along the way because this is a draining journey. We've heard that we earn the right to be prophetic through our care and compassion in a broader area of issues within society. We've heard that our advocacy will be within the church for the church and within the church for the world. In other words, we need to re-evangelize the church to be more effective body of Christ, a more faithful body of Christ in the world. We've heard the courageous stories of other social justice issues, and that this is a social justice issue like slavery. And we've been challenged by other churches who have been highly prepared, like Australia, in their approach to this. We also realise that our advocacy, though important to take place at conference and synod level, that resolutions are not going to resolve this issue alone. We need to enable personal encounter, allow space for people to hear stories, and also win the winnables, the easy wins now. We've been challenged to be vigilant about the structures of the church that are not always operating according to even our church discipline, and to interrogate areas where there's a pastoral commission or discipline over this issue. And the thought there too is the extrapolated from that, one could say, the example of the black sash who would go and sit in and listen to cases concerning past laws, etc., etc. And so that if there are any disciplinary actions, etc., that a person is never left on their own to face things on their own. There will be a broader witness or cloud of witnesses, if you like. We have been challenged not to let all our energy be taken up by a minority of heightened position, opposition, but to focus on the broad majority of people who are yet to make up their mind, perhaps, on this issue. Part of the advocacy is to get these stories out. We've spoken about a DVD presentation. And then just a few things that were discussed yesterday, the issue of arbitration, mediation regarding what happened at Synod, that needs to be taken forward. We said that we'd work through DUCOM, that we would bring a code of conduct of respect that promotes and protects diversity in the way we go forward, that we are not here to become the only view, but we want to be a legitimate view. That we will report to conference on this process and our learnings of this process, and that there will be resolutions at conference that we will have to consider, and specifically around the Civil Unions Bill. And that's what others have done some work on regarding regarding conference. So, we are called to stand with, stand for, and stand up. I'm not quite sure if that sums up everything, but it's... And Diane sends her apologies. She had to leave to go home earlier.